Hi everyone! Left to our own devices, the conference may be over, but you can still watch the recording at cybellum.com/conference. Tune in to listen to FDA updates from FDA executives themselves, learn about AI in automotive from NVIDIA, the AI leader, and listen to product security leaders from Philips, Honeywell, CISA, and more. Go to cybellum.com/conference and watch the recording for free. See you at the next event!
Hi, this is David.
And this is Shlomi.
And you've tuned into Left to Our Own Devices,
the Product Security Podcast.
Great. So our guest today needs no introduction, but we'll try anyways. His name is Roman Kessler, and he is the VP of Research at Cybellum. For those following Cybellum, you probably know him from his video series, Roman Explains, where he breaks down famous vulnerabilities and product security concepts. But surprisingly, that's not all that he does. So Roman is also an experienced researcher, software engineer, and team leader with a history of working in the product cybersecurity space. At Cybellum, he does not only leads the research team, but is also in charge of developing new AI capabilities for product security. In fact, Cybellum just launched an AI assistant for product security and named it after him. It's called Ask Roman. So the real Roman finally is on our show. Hi, Roman. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. It's nice that you assume that I am the real Roman and not the AI Roman. But it's very nice to be here and happy to see you.
We're happy as well. And I guess we'll never know if it's the real you or the AI you, but we'll try to figure it out during this conversation. And maybe we can start with a personal question. So how did you end up becoming a security researcher? And now an AI developer.
So I think it's a very good question because in the way that I see it is like a natural evolution. Eventually, I started as a programmer, software engineer, and I think that the movement to research was after I gained some experience with it. And I think that in order to be a good researcher, you first must be a good developer. Because if you don't understand how to write code, what obstacles, what challenges you have, it's impossible later to reverse engineer code of others. You need to know what you do, and you have to have this perspective of a developer before you start to be a researcher. So after a while as a researcher, I think that AI is the next step of the evolution for me. I think that as a software development and security researcher are tools that I love to have in my professional toolkit, I think that now the AI development is the next thing. It's a very important tool, and in order to utilize it the maximum, you have to have some background in programming. And I think that this is something that I want to master for myself as the next step in my career.
So that's very interesting. Tell me, is this the real Roman or is this the AI Roman?
I will not tell you right now what will be the fun of this. Maybe at the end of the interview, you will know.
Are you going to reveal where you are in the world?
So if I am the real Roman, so now I am in the East, specifically now I am in Cambodia.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. How can AI be leveraged to enhance product security, such as anomaly detection or threat identification?
So I think that it's a good question because our world is evolving and moving there. I think that eventually, as I see the AI, it's a very powerful tool for the usage of people. There are some people who are afraid that AI will replace humans, but I don't think so. I think that AI is a tool and it could be helpful in many different places. One of these places is software security. I think that what is a very big characteristic of the software security world is that there are tons of information. A lot of this time, this information is very similar to each other. It's very hard to find what is more important, what is less important, what is indicator of something, where is an anomaly is happening. And I think that utilizing AI for this could be a skyrocket this field, because AI is like an assistant, or it could be hundreds or thousands of different assistants that help you to improve the security of the company. They can analyze data, they can do different 24/7 shifts to look for different problems. They could validate each other if something happening. And the most important findings, the most important things that they detect, they can pass to human. And then it saves us a lot of times and resources, instead of having like a dummy security researcher who just only go through information, or some kind of pattern style, which a lot of the time antiviruses try to do, or different security analysis departments. It's something that could be very automated and focus the security teams on what actually is important, on the actual problems, and the suggesting much better security. But of course, there is some way to get there. It's not obvious thing to achieve.
Right. So that's very interesting. So maybe as a follow-up to that, you know, we work in the device manufacturing field, in the automotive industry, the medical device industry. And in those areas, manufacturers are very, very careful with the innovations they introduce, partly because of data safety mm-hmm. and privacy. So how do you ensure data safety and privacy when using AI in cybersecurity in such areas?
Yeah, so it's indeed a concern. It's something that we went through, and I guess that every company that eventually uses it went through. The biggest fear of like security is that you send your prompts to another place. And this place is the vendor of the language models or any models, and you don't know what happens there. Because theoretically, someone could read your data, read your prompts, they can use it to train the model and enhance it and use the information in a way that you're not allowed. And eventually it could lead to security risk on your organizational assets, which is like the worst scenario. But I see it a bit differently. I also went through this phase, but eventually there are a lot of protections in this world of models, because the vendors of these models understand these concerns. So, for example, AWS and other cloud providers provide different infrastructure in which software vendors can use as a service. And in this service, for example, me as a software developer, I send my prompt to them and they send me back the response of the AI model. The thing is that this is one another AWS service. There are a lot of different services. The storage is on AWS, your servers, a lot of functionality. And this is just another one. It is also protected by NDA. It is also protected by privacy statement. AWS ensures that even the model vendors can't access the machine that actually runs the model that we are using. And they can't access the data, and AWS themselves can access the data. So basically, it's not different in my point of view as like having a cloud machine. As long as you get the statement of the vendor of your LLM model, it's supposed to be fine, or at least as dangerous as many other things that every software vendor doing by relying on cloud resources. Still, different companies, different vendors struggling to find the best fit for those tools. It is like in every new change, you're given the toolkit, but eventually the toolkit itself is not producing value. The idea is how vendors, how software developers could utilize those tools on the best way in order to actually gain value. So I think now this is the most exciting part of a new innovation, is that different companies try to integrate this tool into their paradigm. into the working processes. And I think that we will see a lot of different direction where different companies will take it. Some of the direction will probably be very bad and will not produce anything interesting and could be just a noise. But I believe that other companies eventually will find the sweet spot and will find some very interesting approaches that could save a lot of time, a lot of money, and bring the power of the AI into their businesses. So this is the trend that I see, is eventually to find the way to utilize those very powerful new technology that presented into software security in companies.
Very interesting. So going back to your other job as a security researcher, I asked you this before, but never on this podcast. So you researched and discovered many vulnerabilities and zero days. What is your favorite vulnerability and why?
So I think that my favorite vulnerability is just a simple buffer-based Stack Overflow. It may be a bit anticlimactic to tell it now, but I remember myself as a young researcher who only started to understand what is going on when the first time I saw a complete chain of exploitation from the vulnerability to the actual exploit, and I was amazed because only by a very simple programmer mistake, which was not define an appropriate size of a buffer of a memory location on the software stack, a remote attacker or a local attacker or any attacker could execute on the vulnerable machine any code that he wants. Like, only by a small mistake that you can even imagine how come and not defining a size properly in one variable in your code could lead to such big consequences. And I remember my amazement at this point, and I believe that is something that escorted me my whole career. This understanding how a small mistake, something that no one even thought back then when this vulnerability first appeared, could lead to such bad consequences.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. So, Roman, I have one final question for you. Is there a tool or framework you recently discovered and you would like to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, I think that I discovered this concept of LLM, large language models, as a service. It is something that eventually means that as a software vendor, I give the infrastructure to someone else to handle. Very similar to any cloud computing, but on the perspective of a large language model. It's something that I mentioned before with AWS, but it's only one example. A lot of these cloud providers now has the ability, like out-of-the-box models, they provide you an API, means that you can send them prompts and you get a prompt back. You don't need to work too much in order to establish an environment. You're basically just using someone else, some provider's environment for this. And I found it very helpful for my need and for the organizational need. And I think that it, as any other cloud service, it could make life of developers very easy. So bottom line, the cloud services of AI models, this is something that I found recently very interesting and I could recommend it to any other software vendor.
Very interesting. So maybe I'll just add one more question. You know, you're quite an experienced cyber researcher. What tips or tricks or ideas would you give to people who are just starting out, you know, in cyber and specifically in mm-hmm. cyber with an AI twist?
I think that first advice, you can't just start being a researcher without first learn to develop code. It's something that I stated at the beginning and I really believe in it. So first, before dreaming of being reverse engineer or cybersecurity genius, you first need to understand the mind of your target, the mind of the software vendors, the one who actually creates the vulnerable software. Only when you understand this, you can proceed to the next phase where you are a researcher, security researcher. And I think that AI could guide you through. Once you started being a researcher, after you have enough of experience as a software developer, you can ask AI, you can communicate with it, you can ask him to guide you through. Until now, usually I was relying on articles from different researchers. But articles are very structured. And if you don't understand something, if the writer of the article wasn't clear enough, you can miss the whole point of the whole process. But now with the AI, you can ask him to guide you, to walk through you towards what you try to learn. For example, you want to learn of a new vulnerability like user 3. You can tell the AI, please, you don't have to say please, of course, but being polite. So please guide me through end to end of what is user 3 vulnerability. Teach me what is the dangers of it. If you give me an example that I can execute myself. If you see something not clear, you can ask the model. Most of the time, it will return you with a very accurate answer. Of course, you need to be careful for hallucinations or mistakes. But from my experience, most of the time, the answer will be good. And then you have a way to much easier understand a new concept. So this is my two advices to security researchers and with the AI twist.
Roman, that's great. By the way, about being polite, from what I understand, the AI models are now starting to react back to people based on how they talk to the AI engine. So if you talk if very polite, you'll get a polite response. And otherwise, you might not get such a polite response. So
yeah,
because they're learning.
Yeah. So as an AI model myself, I definitely understand this, and I'm grateful for you for being polite in this whole conversation.
I knew it wasn't the real Roman.
I told you I will reveal at the end.
But how did you know that the real Roman is in Cambodia?
The real Roman is swimming in the sea now.
Wow. Incredible. All right. Roman model. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much, guys.
And thank you for being the face of Cybellum in a lot of ways. And we look forward to seeing the real Roman sometime soon. And thanks for putting everything AI into Cybellum.
Sure. Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed this interview with you and have a wonderful evening. And thank you, everyone who listened to this.
Thank you.
Left to Our Own Devices is brought to you by Cybellum. To learn more, visit cybellum.com.